Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hello. As always, thank you for joining me today. I am going to do something on my end that feels very different for me. Ooh, I didn't think I was going to get this emotional this fast. There is something that God has just been really working in me and dealing with me and showing me truth. And I just felt like I wanted to turn on my microphone and just be raw and real with you and share just straight from my heart. I have nothing written in front of me except a scripture verse. Now, if you've been following me for a while, you know that every year I ask God to give me a scripture verse for the year, something he wants to work in me or through me or whatever. And this year I was led to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I have this verse in front of me at all times at my desk. And God has really, really been doing an amazing thing. It's like everywhere I turn, someone is talking about this topic. Someone is talking about our thoughts and how they affect us. And that is the scripture. I'm going to read it to you, but I know it's going to be emotional because of how deeply God has been working in me and how desperately I want you to allow God to work the same thing in you. Okay, let me read the scripture and then I'm just going to share things that God's been showing me. It says, "Do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of this world. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you will know what God wants and will agree that what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed." This verse sounds impossible after the death of our child, doesn't it? There is just no way that I will agree that what he wants is good, satisfying, and able to succeed when he allowed my child to die and leave this earth before I did. Our thoughts are so dark. It's like this suffocating darkness that just sucks you under. It's horrible. You can't put words to it. You can't explain it to anyone who hasn't lost a child. I didn't even know that kind of darkness existed until my daughter Becca died. I didn't want to be here. My heart was so shattered. The pain was so intense. You don't think you can make it another minute, much less another day or hour or year. Or I would get these panic attacks. I felt like when I would think about 5, 10, 20 years, I can't do this without my daughter, Becca, being here with me. I didn't want to be here anymore. I have 4 other children. Becca's daughter, who had just turned 9, another granddaughter. My husband, I had an international children's ministry. None of that mattered. I just wanted to be done here. I wanted to go be with Becca. And I wasn't suicidal, but I would beg God to just take me. Don't leave me here, God. Because it just hurts so much. Obviously, Dave and I have been doing this for over 10 years now, this ministry of GPS Hope, Grieving Parents Sharing Hope. And obviously, I have gotten out of that darkness into a place of light. Now, obviously, I can go back to that place. You can hear that in my voice right now. But the thing is, I hear from so many of you that I don't think I'll ever get there. I don't see me ever getting past this darkness. And you're just like me. I don't want to be here anymore. I can't stand this pain. And the thing is, a lot of it your journey is in your mind. It's your thoughts. And when you say things like, I won't ever get past this, life won't ever be worth living again, you are speaking things to yourself that your mind is beginning to wire a path in your brain that makes that true. Now, let me tell you, it's not true. It is not true that you will always be in this place of darkness. It is not true that you can't get past this. I have literally known hundreds, if not thousands, of parents from all the different places I've spoken and been with bereaved parents, bereavers, emails, and people I've talked to. I'm literally hundreds, if not thousands, people who thought bereavers, people who lost their child, who thought they would never have a life worth living again, and they have a life worth living again. It doesn't mean we don't miss our child. It doesn't mean we don't have days where we break down and the pain becomes intense again. But it's not like that every day. It doesn't have to be like that every day. And I think what God has been showing me lately is just some of it is the science behind our brains and our minds. They're finding our brains and our mind are two totally different things. The study of neuroscience is they're separated. Our brain is not the same thing as our mind, our thoughts and what we think. And we control our thoughts. Now, I know at the beginning, everything is dark, but you control what you think about this darkness. There's a scientist, a neuroscientist, and his name starts with an H, Henny, I can't remember what it is. But there's a saying that neurons that fire together wire together. And what has been discovered and scientifically proven in like brain scans and all that stuff, multiple studies, that when we think on the same thing over and over again, we begin to believe it. Or if we're told something over and over again, we begin to believe it. It becomes a truth to us, even though it may not be the truth. So when we tell ourselves over and over again, I can't live here without my child, I can't get past this, I'll never have a life of worth living again. When we tell ourselves that over and over again, our mind begins to sear that as a path in our brain that we actually can't get past it because it is a belief. Our beliefs become our identity. What we believe, what we think, and what we believe about those thoughts is who we become. And I don't want that for you. I don't want you to spend years in this place of darkness because you keep telling yourself these things. Don't let yourselves be conformed to the standards of the world. Don't let yourself believe lies. We are so vulnerable. We are in such a vulnerable place when our child dies. And the enemy begins to bombard us with thoughts because he wants us to stay sucked under. He wants to keep us in his darkness. He doesn't want us to see even a pinpoint of light. He doesn't want us to have any kind of hope whatsoever. The thing is, when you begin to find yourself thinking these thoughts, I can't get past this. I won't ever get past this. I won't ever stop missing my child. I won't ever get out of this darkness. Life will never have meaning again. I'll never be happy again. When you start finding yourselves thinking those thoughts, you need to change the thought. Even if you believe those thoughts, you need to change the thoughts so that you will begin, instead of lining up with the enemy's thoughts for you, you can line up with God's thoughts for you. This is something that we're wired. God created us to be able to do this. He created our brains to be able to think his thoughts. You have the mind of Christ. We are told to renew our minds. Keep letting yourselves be transformed, totally changed by the renewing of your minds. God knew how he wired us. Science is, it's fascinating to me how science is constantly catching up to what God says. It's so often scientists try to disprove the Bible, and every single time they end up proving it instead. And what we have found is proof that we can transform our minds. We can change the way we think. So when those dark thoughts come, start thinking things like, I don't know how, but God says I can have a life that is good and satisfying again. It doesn't seem like it, but I know people, I know bereavers, I know bereaved parents who are living that out. And if they can, maybe I can. Give yourself a glimmer of hope. I don't think that's possible, and yet I do think it's possible. Did you know you can, it doesn't have to be an either or, it can be a both. I'm in such darkness and I'm in such intense pain. I don't see a way out, but I believe there is a way out. I don't see myself living a life that's worth living again, but I'm choosing to think that maybe I can. Help me to see it, God. Holy Spirit, help me to begin to believe, to transform my mind, my thoughts. Just give yourself those little glimmers of hope. If others can, maybe I can. I don't know how, I don't know when. It can happen to me. Even if your feelings are telling you that it can't, start changing your thoughts that maybe it can. I know another key that we don't like to hear, but it's been proven once again by brain scans and all the scientific evidence that when we find things to be thankful for, it begins to change the way our minds are wired. Not the brain, but our mind, the way our minds think. And I know we feel like there's nothing to be thankful for. My child is dead. There's nothing to be thankful for. And I hear from some of you, and I'm so sorry. Some of you lost your only child. You have no spouse, or your spouse is like non-existent, or, you know, you fight all the time. You quit going to church because there's no support or help there. You feel like, I have nothing or no one to live for. I have nothing to be thankful for. But you have a roof over your head, don't you? I know. It's like, but I don't want to have a roof over my head. I don't want to be here anymore. Change that thought. Lord, help me. Help me to want to be here. If nothing else, for the legacy of my child. If you go, who's going to keep your child? Who's going to help people know that your child lived and their life mattered? You're the only one that will do that, right? Maybe figuring out how to get a scholarship of some kind in their name, doing something that keeps their name, that keeps their memory alive. If nothing else, Lord, help me to have my life, my meaning and purpose be, you know, if your child died maybe in a drowning, help me to find purpose and meaning in being with other parents who have had this situation and being a hope to them. Give me hope so that I can be a hope to them. Or give me some sort of a ministry, or a connect me with someone that's trying to prevent these kinds of drownings, and we can work on this together and bring awareness to this danger. There are so, it's limitless. It is totally limitless on what you can do to have a life of meaning and purpose again that keeps the memory of your child alive, that lets people know my child lived and my child's life mattered. You have a reason to live. You have a reason to not stay in this place of suffocating darkness. Keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds. This is so important, guys. I wish, you know, it's like nobody, if you haven't lost a child, you don't know what it's like. And I can't sit here and say, I know what your loss is like. I know what my loss was like. I know the suffocating darkness that put me in. I know that I remember sitting in a chair and I wasn't breathing. I had to tell myself to take a breath. I know what that pain is like. I don't know what your pain is like, but I know that pain of losing a child. And just like you can't put it into words, you can't tell someone what it's like. You only know what it's like by experiencing it. Guys, it's like that on the other side of this. I'm telling you, I can't put words to how God can turn this around and give our life meaning and purpose again. I can't put words into the fact that life can be good again. Life can be so worth living. It is worth staying here for. It's worth fighting your way out of the darkness. It's worth being angry at God and trusting Him at the same time. I started to say so much of this, we think it's one or the other, it's either or, but it's both. I can be in deep, deep pain, but I can have hope that I can come out of this pain. I can have, you know, the pain, but I can also have peace, because pain is in our soul and peace is in our spirit. I can be angry at God, and yet at the same time, I can trust Him to get me out of this, and I can believe that He loves me, even though my mind clashes and it's hard for me to believe that. It can be both. It doesn't have to be either or. I want to read a scripture to you that showed up on my phone right before I was going to record this. It's 2 Corinthians 9:8, and it says, "Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way." What an incredible promise. God is more than ready to overwhelm you with grace, with everything that you need. You know, years ago, I woke up at night or early morning, whenever it was, but I just woke up with the words reverberating in my mind, "Draw from my well," reverberating in my mind, or actually I think it was in my spirit, that said, "Draw from my well of abundance." That's another thing that I have written in front of me. I wrote it down. I mean, it just rattled me. And so God keeps reminding me, "Draw from my well of abundance." If I need peace, it's like, "Lord, I'm drawing from your well of abundance of peace." If I need hope in a situation, "Lord, I am drawing from your well of abundance of hope." Anything that I need, God has it for you. God has it for me in abundance. He has light for you in abundance in your place of darkness. Is it going to just all of a sudden come and blind you? Probably not. Okay, I just, you know, when I walk in the bathroom in the morning and I flip on the light, I stand outside of the bathroom because I have to let my eyes adjust before I actually walk into the light. I don't think He's going to just suddenly blind you with light, but He's going to give you just that little pinpoint of light, that hope. And it's, I know that darkness, we don't understand it, but Jesus faced that same darkness. He told the disciples the night that they came and got Him in the garden, one of the things that He told them that night at that supper that He had, that last supper, was that "My Father will never leave me. He's never going to abandon me. He will never forsake me." And yet on the cross, He said, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" God didn't leave Him. I know if you're like me, I was taught that, you know, God's a holy God. He can't have anything to do with sin. He can't look at sin. He can't be around sin. And so God turned His back on Jesus when He died on the cross. And when you really look at Scripture, that's not true. If God were so holy, He could have absolutely nothing to do with sin, then when Adam and Eve sinned, He would not have come down into the garden looking for them. He wouldn't have tried to come into their presence. It's our shame and our guilt that separates us from Him. It's not His holiness that separates us. It's our guilt and our shame that separates us from Him. And He took care of that with Jesus on the cross. Our shame and our guilt and our sin has been paid for, and we don't have to have shame and guilt. But that darkness that Jesus felt, I don't believe it was God turning His back, because God would not turn His back on His Son. Would you? No, none of us turn our backs on our children. We may have to have tough love. We may have to put boundaries or separations, but we don't turn our backs on them. God didn't do that either. I believe that the darkness was so dark that Jesus couldn't feel or see God. He knows what it's like to be in that place of darkness. And He also burst through with resurrection power. He snatched the keys of hell and death. He has all the power. not the enemy. You know, something interesting I heard the other day, and it's like I knew it, but for some reason, after all these years, it really, really clicked with me. We think that Satan, you know, God and Satan are opposites. You know, Satan is the opposite of God. God's the opposite of Satan. There is no opposite of God. Michael the archangel is the opposite of Satan, because Satan was an angel that fell from heaven, that was thrown out of heaven. Satan is a fallen angel. He is not equal with God. He is not equal with God's power. His opposite is Michael. God is so far above the enemy. And I know that can make us think, then why didn't God stop the death of my child? I don't have an answer to that. My answer is keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you will know what God wants. And that doesn't mean that we're going to have answers to the why, but we will have answers to the how. How am I going to get out of this darkness? How am I going to want to live again? How am I going to have a life of meaning and purpose again after the death of my child? I don't see that happening. But if you allow yourself to be transformed, totally changed by renewing your mind, begin to think different thoughts. Begin to think, I don't know why, God, but I believe you're going to show me how, so that you will know what God wants and you will agree that what He wants is good. It is satisfying, and it is able to succeed. God, guys, I am telling you, on the other side of your place of darkness, what God wants for you is good. What God wants for you is, believe it or not, it is satisfying, and it is able to succeed. Maybe right now, what you think is good, what you think is satisfying, and what you think is successful is totally different than what God sees. And that's another reason we have to renew our minds, because we need to see what God sees. We need to see through the eyes of eternity, not just our pain right now of missing our child, but through the eyes of eternity, not just the here and now. Even though that's where we are, that's where our pain is. I hope I'm making sense. Because one of the verses that's very difficult is when God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for a future and a hope not to harm you. Then why did you let my child die? Once again, we've got to renew our minds. It's not why. We're probably not going to get those answers this side of eternity. Think about it. Our child has the answer. Our child knows why. And it's because what God has for you beyond the death of your child is so good. It is so satisfying, and it is so able to succeed. And once again, I know it doesn't seem like that, and it's so hard to believe. But just begin to give yourself a thought that maybe my heart, my head, maybe it's telling me that's impossible. Maybe it worked for you, but it's not going to work for me. No, 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 don't think that thought. You can think, I don't see it happening for me, but maybe because it's happened for hundreds and thousands of other people, maybe it can happen for me. I don't think so, but maybe. It's not one or the other. Give yourself that path for your brain to begin, neurons that fire together, wire together. Begin to give your mind something to wire together that will bring you out of the darkness, no matter how little it seems. I'm telling you guys, God's word is true. We've got to renew our minds. We've got to think about what we're thinking about. Like I said, it's so fascinating how science is proving this out. Like I said, I don't have a script in front of me, and so some of this is a little bit of rambling. I'm sorry, but I want to go back to, I didn't finish my thought about being thankful. I heard just yesterday from someone who said, I got kicked out of my house. I don't know what the situation was or is, but she said, I'm staying with a cousin or a friend, I can't remember. But it's like, okay, be thankful that you have somebody you can stay with. Be thankful that you still have a job that you can go to. Maybe you're not thankful for that job, but find reasons to be thankful, because it occupies my mind. It helps pay my bills. It gets me around people, even if I don't want to be around people. I don't know, but find something. Renew your mind. Think of good reasons. Think of glimmers of hope. Maybe you lost your job, and I'm sorry. I know there are some of you who lost your job because you can't think clearly right now, or you needed more time off for that, for the grief. It's just too painful to go back to work. Be thankful that you're home. Be thankful that God is holding you even in what you didn't think could get any worse, and it's gotten worse. God has a plan. He's got a plan. But you're not going to be able to see that plan if you are letting yourselves be conformed to the standards of the world. The world is our flesh. The world is the enemy. If you keep allowing yourselves to be conformed, and those are where your thoughts are going, much harder to climb out of the darkness. And I know some of us, we don't want to climb out of the darkness because we're afraid that if I leave this darkness, it means I'm forgetting my child. It means I'm leaving my child behind. That is another lie. That's another area where you have to transform your mind. You have to renew your thoughts. It is not the pain that keeps you attached to your child. It is your love that keeps you attached to your child. I'm going to say that again because it is so important, and it has to become your own revelation. Just hearing me say it, there's something in you that needs to switch, that needs to believe it. It is not your pain that keeps you attached to your child. You are not a terrible person if you don't stay in this place of darkness, because it means that you're leaving your child and letting, you know, leaving your child behind you and just going on with life. That's not what's happening. I'm telling you, that's not what's happening. It is your love that keeps you attached to your child. It's your love. It's not your pain. That's another area where we need to renew our minds. Ask God for help. We cannot do this on our own. We're just in a place that's too dark. Cry out to God. Ask Him for help. Ask Him to show you little things, tiny things. It doesn't matter how tiny. I have a pen and a notebook that I can write in, that I can write whatever I need to write, and nobody's ever going to read it. I can destroy it. Be thankful for that. I have a chair that I can sit in and cry. Be thankful for that. I have a car. I can take myself to a beautiful place to go for a walk in nature. Be thankful for that. I'm telling you, there are so many things that we can be thankful for that will help us renew our minds. Ask God for help. Ask God whenever you think these horrible negative thoughts, when you're seeing your child, whether it's in reality or you just made up an image in your head and you can't get rid of that, ask God to change your thoughts. Change your thoughts to holding your child when they were born, or seeing your child in heaven with Him, just running, laughing, playing, having a wonderful time. No cares, no worries, no physical ailments, no scars, all of their body parts there. I know some of you, it's very hard for you to imagine because your child was disabled their whole life, and it's very hard to picture them whole and healed. But these are all things that we can do and we need to do to get out of this place of suffocating darkness. I hope that my passion here hasn't turned you off. This is not a judgment thing. This is my heart crying out from a place of remembering what that was like, and my heart longing for you to have hope, longing for you to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. I started to say, just like you can't tell someone what it's like to be in that dark place of the death of your child. I can't put words, I can't tell you what it's like to be on the other side of this and to actually be walking out this scripture, to be in agreement that what God wants is good and satisfying and able to succeed. I can't put it into words. I can't. You have to experience it, and I want you to experience it. So ask God for help. Ask the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You don't have to reach out there for God somewhere. He's in you. He is in you to help you. He's in you to comfort you. He's in you to give you strength. He is in you to give you hope. He is in you to water and nourish that seed of hope that is might be dormant in the ground of your heart right now. But it will begin to break open and it will begin to sprout as this little shoot, and it will begin to come up and it will begin to grow. For some reason, I just felt led to wrap this up by reading the first few verses of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, his grace, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That is my hope. That is my prayer for you, that as that seed begins to be nourished and sprout, that you will become an oak tree. You will become rooted, firm, established in his love in a way that you become unshakable, and that you become that firm, that beautiful oak tree that others can come and find shade and find nourishment and find hope in you like you never thought it could happen, but it can. God says it can. He has a plan for you. Open yourselves up to that plan. Let me just read Romans 12:2 one more time. Do not let yourselves be conformed to the standards of the world. Instead, keep letting yourselves be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you will know what God wants and will agree that what he wants is good, it is satisfying, and able to succeed. In case you haven't heard, my newest book, The Bible's Grieving Parents, is now available in paperback along with a companion journal. You'll be able to walk with people such as Adam and Eve, Naomi, King David, of course Job, and others in Scripture who lost a child or lost children, and see how God met them in their grief, bringing you comfort, hope, and strength through their lives as bereavers. The companion journal will help you to process more deeply and personally what you have read about each of the bereavers. These two books have now been released on Amazon. However, because this is my birthday month, if you order both of these books from the GPS Hope website, from our web store, we are celebrating my birthday by giving you a gift. From now through the end of February, when you order The Bible's Grieving Parents along with the companion journal, like I said, through the GPS Hope web store, we will send you a free copy of My Grief Journey, Coloring Book and Journal for Grieving Parents. Now, this is a book that brings so many of our swirling emotions into the light. There are 42 different words that reflect the path we are walking. Words like numb, confusion, anger, helpless, comfort, time, laughter, heaven, believe, trust, and of course, hope. Each one of these 42 words is surrounded by intentionally hand-drawn artwork by a really good friend of mine. It's not perfect. They are not computer-generated pictures, because grief isn't perfect either. It mirrors our lives and our journey. You don't have to like coloring to get this book, because alongside each word is a journaling prompt plus encouragement and scripture to gently point your heart back toward truth and hope, and just to be able to release and be honest about this journey with all of these words that just affect us so deeply with our emotions. It's a gentle, creative way to help process our emotions that are often hard to put into words. We have several people who've purchased this book to use it in their support groups, and we give permission to copy out the pages, if you're doing that, for each person to have in front of them. Now, if this doesn't sound like something you would use, you can always hang on to it and allow God to show you who you can gift it to that it was intended for. Now, when this podcast is released, Dave and I will be on the grief cruise as presenters, so your books will be shipped in March when we get back to Wisconsin. But I promise it will be worth the wait. I really hope you take advantage of grabbing some of the first copies of the Bible's Grieving Parents along with the companion journal from the web store and get your free copy of My Grief Journey along with those two books. And of course, I will put a link to these books in our web store in the show notes. So all you have to do is click on it and you'll be sent right there. Now, when you put the book set in your cart, the Bible's Grieving Parents and the Companion Journal, you do not have to put the free book in your cart, because we'll automatically include it if you place your order by Saturday, which is the last day in February. Okay, enough of that. It is time for our weekly birthday segment, where we honor and remember our children's birthdays as a way of remembering that their lives mattered. Mark Patrick King II was born on February 22nd and is forever 29. Daron Walker was born on February 23rd and is forever 31. Nolan Sanders was born on February 24th and is forever 28. Paul Huppridge was born on February 24th and is forever 19. Ian Rodriguez was born on February 26th and is forever 33. Dylan Paul Yancey Clark was born on February 26th and is forever 17. As always, we celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a day that is special, it's important, and worth celebrating. If this feels meaningful to you, I would be honored to hold that space with you, along with the other listeners, the week of your son or daughter's birthday. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. There's just a short form for you to fill out, submit that information, and Dave will send you an email to remind you to listen the week of your son or daughter's birthday. The word transformed in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 is from the original Greek word metamorpho, which is where we get the word metamorphosis. It's a complete change from the inside out. You go in one way and come out totally different. And as we are in our place of darkness, it's like we're in the chrysalis, like a butterfly. We are in that place of being changed. It doesn't feel good right now. I know that's an understatement, but you can eventually emerge like a beautiful butterfly, soaring in God's love, His grace, and His goodness. It can happen to you, just like it's happened to me, like it's happened to thousands of others, and like it happened to those who we read about in Scripture. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.